Hello and welcome, everyone. Happy New Year. I'm Jamie Jenkins with ahamodernliving.com.
And I'm Teresa O'Connor with seasonalwisdom.com.
So some of you may have noticed that Teresa and I haven't been around for a while. So life has kept us really busy, and we've taken a little vacation, but we're coming back to you now because we are super excited about the Northwest Flower and Garden Show that's happening in less than 30 days up in Seattle in February. So we just wanted to take a little bit of time to share with you some of the things that is going to be going on with the show. We have a fabulous interview that Teresa has done with the seminar and social media manager, Janet Ensley. She's been with the show for over 5 years. And we're really excited because we're both going to be speakers at the show.
That's right, Jamie. You know, there's lots of flower and garden shows around the nation at this time of year and in the upcoming months. But the Northwest Flower and Garden Show in Seattle is really special. First of all, this is not only the nation's second largest flower and garden show, but it's also the third largest in the world. And about 55,000 visitors are going to pass through the doors of the Washington State Convention Center on February 8th through the 12th. And they're going to see some marvelous show gardens, visit exhibitors, and listen to about 101 free seminars and workshops. The theme of the show is a floral symphony, and if it's anything like it was last year, it's going to be fantastic.
Just to give you an opportunity of what Teresa and I will be covering at the show, on Wednesday, February 8th at 5:15, I will actually be talking about Edibles Cubed, and I'll be showing everyone to how to create a living edible cocktail table. Now, this is kind of like a spin-off of my edible wall that proved to be really hard to take care of, but I've modified it, and it looks super cool. So especially for you patio and balcony gardeners, this might be a good option for you. Then Teresa on Thursday will be speaking February 9th at 9:30 a.m., and she'll be discussing the allure of edible flowers, how to grow, harvest, cook, and enjoy edible flowers. Then I come back to the DIY stage on Thursday at 5:15, and I'm going to be talking about how to grow a gutter garden, because this is actually functional and it looks fabulous. Teresa on Friday, February 10th at 5:30 p.m., will be coming back and presenting on growing food in small spaces. And she'll share tips, techniques, and ways to maximize your edible garden harvest.
That's what we're going to be talking about. I'm so excited, and we really hope you all can come to our talks if you're in the area. As we mentioned, there's going to be over 101 different seminars going on those days on every type of topic and with some very big speakers. You know, last year I had a chance to sit down with Janet Ensley, who's the seminar organizer and social media manager for the Northwest Flower and Garden Show, and she gave me an insider's look at how this world-class gardening event comes about and also what's planned for this year. And if you haven't met Janet yet, Jamie can confirm she's a real pro. Since 2005, she's organized over 955 seminars, so she really knows her business. And during this short interview, Janet explains not only how the show got started, but also how 300 people are going to work day and night for 72 hours to transform a bare flat cement space into a garden paradise. Listen up to what she has to say. Hi, I have the pleasure of sitting here with Janet Ensley, who is the seminar and social media manager for the Northwest Flower and Garden Show. Thank you so much for joining us today, Janet.
Hi, how are you doing, Teresa? I'm glad to be here.
Ah, well, we're glad to be here too. Janet, I wondered if you could tell us how this show became the number two garden show in America.
Well, I think originally it was the vision of the founder, Dwayne Kelly, and his wife, Alice Kelly. They went to the Philadelphia Flower Show, and they came home and said, "We can do this here." And Dwayne had a very strong vision, which he used to call his three-legged stool. He had the gardens, he had the exhibitors, and he had the seminars, the seminar program being very educational and not commercial. So it developed a reputation of being one of the finest seminar programs in any flower show in the world. And I think because of that, it took off with the gardening community, and our local gardening community on the West Coast has been very loyal ever since.
Now, do you attract mostly people from the West Coast, or do they come in from all over?
Actually, they do come in from all over. We bring speakers nationwide. We even bring them from the United Kingdom and European speakers. And so there's a lot here to interest everybody, even gardeners in Arizona and the drier states and back east and the Midwest. There's really something for everything at this garden show.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the gardens because they're just amazing. I personally have never seen anything like it. And I wondered what type of preparation goes into preparing these exhibit gardens so that everything can be flowering and blooming at the same time at the end of February. I mean, that must take a lot of preparation.
Absolutely. It all starts, of course, with Kyle Eldred, who is our garden designer, who starts in March talking to all the leading garden designers and landscape firms and getting them to start thinking about whether or not they want to do a garden for next year. The blooming is something special that we've done this year. We've teamed up with a new partnership with Windmill Gardens in Sumner, Washington, and used their greenhouses for a whole new forcing program that we provided for all of our garden designers. Unbeknownst to us, they really decided to go for it with forcing, and we ended up having about 5 times more plant material being forced than we really had anticipated. That's how enthusiastic the garden creators were. So there's literally, you know, hundreds of trees and shrubs and flowering bulbs and perennials that had all been forced into bloom, all very carefully timed. The funny thing is Mother Nature did not really cooperate for us, because many of our garden designers thought that they could pick up their plants Sunday night and Monday during move-in, only to find that we had record freezing temperatures, and we really had to scramble and get all the plants in here while still protecting those delicate blossoms that were ready to burst into bud.
Well, it's amazing to come in from a snowy scene or a cold scene and to walk into that room and to smell all of those flowers everywhere. The spring bulbs are just amazing. It's intoxicating, really.
I especially love, because I've been here since last Saturday, the Arboretum Foundation's beautiful Japanese garden. It is an exquisite rendition of a Japanese garden to honor the 50th anniversary of the Seattle Japanese Garden. They have 3 cherry trees. It goes with their storyline. And Saturday and Sunday and Monday, they had these fat pink buds. And I just walked by yesterday, and all 3 trees have fully blossomed. And they're like a delicate, airy cloud here in this garden. So it was just perfect timing.
I can just imagine. Are there any interesting facts you can give us in terms of the amount of people that typically come to the shows, or the amount of work that's involved in the shows?
Well, we tend to run about 55,000 in attendance. We're very happy to have that and hope that that will slowly increase. We do want to know that the show, you don't have to be a very experienced veteran gardener to enjoy this show. We have a great deal for the budding gardener. We have a great deal for families. Our new children's play garden area has just a wonderful opportunities for children to get dirty, really. We want them to play in the dirt, play in the compost, play with worms. So there's a lot of fun there. We have over 350 exhibitors, and all of our exhibitors are vetted to make sure that they have high-end quality products for the gardening community. So we turn away probably 100 people that we just don't feel meet our standards. We have 123 seminars, so that number right there is something that we're very proud of. And we offer programming on the weekends in the play garden, just for the little folks, musical song and dance, and things that they can do to actually touch and feel things.
You know, I was getting a sandwich just in the food court, and they were even singing a little song about my food came from the dirt. It was a salad. Mm-hmm. But even in the food court, there's entertainment going on.
Absolutely. We try to provide something all around. We've got pianists in the south lobby. We have a wine bar this year, so people can just stop and relax and enjoy it. That is in our Living It Up section. We have the Living It Up section is just 3-4 gardens that are meant for the condominium homeowner or the balcony dweller who thinks, I can't do anything with this tiny little space. And we want to show them that, yes, you can. You can really create an intimate little seating environment that you you can greatly enjoy. It doesn't have to be empty or boring. Our container gardens along the Sky Bridge is one of my favorite features because those really show what you can do with containerized gardens and how you can put them out and with seating. And there's some wild and fanciful things there.
Oh, I love that section too. Now, how do you prepare for the actual exhibit? You must start over a year in advance each to plan for the next one. Is that right?
Absolutely. It starts pretty much as soon as we move out of the convention center. I think we all get a breather. Everybody takes a good week off. But we do start thinking ahead already. I start looking at the speaker list. Kyle Eldred starts looking at the garden creator list. He meets with them all, talks to them about their show garden, asks if they're interested in doing it again. And Linda Knutson, our exhibits manager, right away is starting to talk to the exhibitors about next year. Many exhibitors want to sign up for the next year during the show because they want to be assured that they can get their space and the space that they're used to. So we basically, the planning process goes on 12 months before the show, and then it's an incredibly intense 15 days from move in to the show to move out.
So the actual demonstration gardens, are they actually being set up like 2 weeks before the show?
It all started last Friday at 9 p.m. That's when we get the convention center. So we have basically 90 hours to get the gardens in. That starts with striking the floor and making sure that all the gardens stay within their lines. Then we have to put all the theatrical lighting. The show is known for its dramatic theatrical lighting, and that's all well planned in advance. And of course, truckloads and truckloads of sawdust and compost go in and get dumped. There's massive piles of boulders that get brought in, and then the gardens start developing and shaping up. They start with forming the sawdust. They put things on top of that. They bring in their buildings. It's a lot like puzzles. And the buildings have all been made in advance and then taken apart and then brought in and put back together. And then all of the garden creators have their piles of plants that are all massed to the side of their gardens, and then one by one they all get carefully placed. If you come in during garden creation, the noise level is very high. I almost got run over by a forklift probably at least a dozen times. If you don't move out of their way, you're going to get smashed. So, and it's just a chaos of about 300 people who are all moving, and they're moving together and with purpose and in tandem, and there's a lot of sharing and giving. Oh, did you run out of this plant? I've got a few extra. The entire gardening community comes together as just a family to put this show on, and the garden creators are very, very proud of what they've done, and they have worked very hard to put it all together.
Well, you can tell. Do you have any tips for someone who might be new to a garden show in how they can get the best impact from visiting, you know, the maximum benefit? Any good tips?
Absolutely. I think you should start by going to our website, which is gardenshow.com, because we've got everything on there that you would want to know. So you can read in advance the descriptions of each of the gardens and maybe make a few notes of, oh, this looks interesting. I especially want to make sure I see this one. If you're interested in shopping for anything, then go down our exhibitor list, because that is broken down by types of products. So you can check out who's got tools, who's got plants, or if you want to join a nonprofit organization, which ones will be there, so you can be sure to talk to those folks. And of course, with seminars, you've got to plan that in advance. With 123 to choose from, you're going to have to pick and choose where you are. But we've always got something going on, so you can look and see whether or not, oh, there's some on containers, there's some on edibles, there's some on various kinds of plants, there's all kinds of different topics. So plan that in advance by going to our website at gardenshow.com.
Now, you were mentioning about the seminars, and you said that you have so many people, 123, I think you said, this mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. But you also started something new, didn't you? Some panel discussions. Do you want to talk about that?
Absolutely. I thought I'd do something different this year, and it wasn't a typical panel discussion. I called them talk shows. I wanted to give sort of a fun, homey feel, so I did away with the talking heads over the table, and everybody sat around in comfy club chairs and basically had a host with celebrity guests, and they were all on a given topic. So we had one on the future of gardening, one was on incredible edibles, another one was plant explorers, people who go around the world finding plants that end up ultimately in our gardens. And so it was just fun and different and unusual. It was very spontaneous and lighthearted. And although I must give credit to all of our hosts of each of our talk shows, because they did their homework in advance and touched bases with all of their celebrity guests and made sure that everybody was going to be on topic and on time.
Well, we're now at the last day of the show, and that means you get a week off to relax before you start next year's show. Anything you want to tell us about next year's show?
Well, first of all, everybody should mark their calendars because it's February 8th through 12th. So we'll be a little bit earlier in the month, which is actually the way we like it. We already have our theme, and it's based around music. So you are going to see Gardens in Symphony. And I think that already the garden creators are starting to think ahead and thinking about ideas for a particular piece of symphony or jazz or rock or any kind of music that all of a sudden they're thinking, oh, I want to do a garden around that. It's going to be fun and inventive and exciting, and we hope you'll see all new kinds of gardens.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. There you go. Mark your calendars. Thanks so much for your time, Janet.
Thank you, Teresa.
Teresa, once again, fabulous interview with Janet. And like you said, she really is a pro. I mean, you really have to consider what goes into the creativity, the organization, finding reputable speakers that everybody wants to listen to. It's just amazing. And to think that they only have 72 hours to pull the whole show together.
I know.
Awesome. Yeah, it is awesome.
Tell me what you found personally the most inspiring or interesting about the Northwest Flower and Garden Show compared to many shows you've seen around the country.
Like Janet, the container gardening is always really great because it's so amazing to me that people or designers can put such an amazing garden display in such a small space. What I also like about that is that beginning gardeners and advanced gardeners can all take cues from these designers and how they put their place or their spaces together, how they work in textures, in really small spaces. And I think, you know, younger, newer homeowners, they'll really get some great ideas from those types of displays. The larger landscape displays, they're just truly amazing. And once again, you really have to consider how do they get this in a convention area. And then lastly, I think the most inspiring thing for me is to see a lot of the either garden editors from magazines that I've read throughout my adult life, and also seeing some of the book authors, watching them speak and going to the book signings afterwards. It's always been really fun for me.
I think that's really true. Also, the fact that they have live music throughout the show, even in the food court, there's entertainment going on. And when you first walk into the show and you see all the blooming flowers and trees, it's amazing that they were able to time everything so impeccably that the tree buds actually bloom during the show. And when you think that that's growing on cement...
I know.
On cement.
Well,
and
not
it's
only,
amazing.
Right. But in the middle of February, you have all these aromatic blooming flowers. It's just, it's mind boggling to me. And I will have to say, I hope Janet brought back the wine bar that she introduced last year. So that'll be one thing I'm looking forward to.
Well, that's where you'll find Jamie when she's not giving her talks.
Yeah, that's where the unofficial book signings will be.
the networking.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, it was really great to join again with you, Jamie, on this short little special podcast. And can't wait to see you in Seattle with all our friends.
I can't either. And Teresa, it's really been awesome. So just one last bit of information that we want to share with you guys. We're going to do things a little bit differently. Like Janet said in the interview, you can find a boatload of information about the show, the designers, and the displays on gardenshow.com. But Teresa and I will both be blogging and have this interview and this show on both of our blogs. So mine is ahamodernliving.com. And Teresa's is seasonalwisdom.com. And we'll both be sharing information that we discussed here. And we'll also have some links to number one, Laura Schaub, who is the social media director for the San Francisco show. Now, although they're different shows, you're still going to be able to find helpful information on how to get the most out of a show, you know, like kind of what to wear, what to look for, and that sort of thing. And then also, a few years ago, I had an interview, actually had a face-to-face interview with Dwayne Kelly, who, like Janet said, was the originator of the Seattle and San Francisco show. So look for that information. And lastly, I know Teresa is going to agree with me when I say this, that we are super duper excited about the 2012 Northwest Flower and Garden Show. We're looking forward to seeing some of our garden friends that we've met along the way, but not only that, we're really excited about meeting new garden friends. So if you happen to see us on the show floor or even after one of our presentations, don't be shy. Come on up and say hi. And in the meantime, go grow something.